Finally, earlier in the program, we heard a commentary from an African-American man who recently visited Ghana and a port there that was used in the transatlantic slave trade. Millions of Africans were taken through similar ports, dragged from their homelands and families during the slave trade. And for centuries since, their descendants have struggled to trace the stories of their ancestors and to reclaim their heritage. But so much of that information has been lost or scattered. Not anymore. A new database has been created to find information about those forced into slavery. Voyages, the Transatlantic Slave Trade, is a database recently launched by Emory University that contains details about some 70,000 enslaved Africans. It charts nearly 35,000 slave ship voyages across the Middle Passage, and that could help millions of African Americans to learn more about their own history. Joining me to talk about the project and how it works is co-director David Eltis. Welcome to the program. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Who do you envision will use this data? Was it mainly scholars, or do you think just people who are curious about their own origins?
I think there are three constituencies. We started off thinking of scholars, but it's clear that there's a major educational function as well. We've actually got a slightly simplified interface in the main database, which allows schools, certainly from grade 7 up to 12, to actually access and use what we've got. The third group, I think, would be genealogists. But the point here is that we do not really offer facilities for tracking back family roots, because the names of all individuals, especially those on the data set which are African, were changed when the enslaved Africans arrived in the Americas.
Really? All people?
Yes.
You mean, so it is commonly held as wisdom that people of African descent lost their names when they came
yes.
to this country, and you're telling me that is in fact true?
It's not 100% true, because there are some African names that did survive, but there are not many of those African names that survive today, and people moving back in time would often have a great deal of difficulty tracking back to the African name that did survive the voyage when it did.
So if someone had... And of course, you know that genealogy has become very important. It's exploded
yes.
in popularity in recent years among African Americans, as for other groups. But for those who would like to trace their roots back to the actual ship, that's still going to be very
yes.
difficult.
It is. It's, in fact, virtually impossible. What we do offer, I think, is the possibility of actually, if they have a specific time and place that they can get back to, we can inform them of the African origins of people that actually came into the area which they've singled out and the time they've singled out. But that's not quite the same thing as saying you can pick up the trail of an ancestor and then follow that back to Africa.
So it's useful in determining the origins of communities.
Absolutely.
But not yes, necessarily of individuals.
Particularly not individuals. Nobody should come to this site with the expectation that they can complete their family history in the way that you could perhaps do it in Europe, where, of course, names did not change.
It's sad, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's one of the less recognized sadnesses of the slave trade.
What have you learned as a result of this work to which you have devoted so much time? Did you ever, I bet you never envisioned you would spend so much time assembling a database,
Absolutely
did you?
Not. No, nor did my wife. but what I've learned, I think, is the enormous shift in attitudes. I think what comes out of all the documents that I've seen, at least before 1800, is how completely normal the slave trade was in the eyes of the great majority of people. How people were regarded no differently as any other kind of commodity which was moved across the Atlantic, because people were, of course, treated as commodities. And slave ship owners would name their slave ships after their family members. They would simply switch from the slave trade to some other kind of business depending on profit levels. There was in no sense an attitude which said that the slave trade was immoral. And that, for me, is, I think, what I've learned the most. The disconnect between the 18th century and the 20th century, the 21st century, is for me what comes out strongest.
I wonder what changed then, since there was such a widespread acceptance of the commodification of human beings. I wonder what it is that changed.
These attitudes actually change almost without us realizing. If you look back in your own lifetime, you can possibly see a hint of this when you think of things that were regarded as acceptable in your youth from your first memories and then compare them with today's attitudes, you can often see a perceptible shift. And when you multiply that by generations, I think you begin to see the big changes that are going on. It's clearly not just a question of the slave trade. There are a whole range of human activities which were once regarded as acceptable, which are now not regarded as acceptable.
What do you hope that people will draw from having this information so easily available? It's not as easily available as I think many people were hoping that it would be. But what are you hoping that people will begin to understand as a result of the work that you and the others have been doing?
I think what we're trying to do in the end is do for the movement of people from Africa what is already in place for the movement of peoples from Europe. I think it is actually now possible in a way which I wouldn't have thought ever likely to happen, to actually reconstruct connections between regions in Africa and regions in the Americas. But in addition to that, I think you can also get a real sense from the database of how wide the involvement in the slave trade was. We may not have names of Africans, but we do have names of captains and owners of vessels, and we certainly have lots of information on ports where these slave voyages were organized. And what emerges from that is that there's scarcely a single port of any significance in the Atlantic world that did not have some connection to the slave trade in the period 1700 to about 1850.
David Eltis is a professor of history at Emory University. He helped direct the recently launched Voyages Transatlantic Slave Trade Database Project, and he was kind enough to join us from the studios of Emory University in Atlanta. Professor Eltis, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Remember, at Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. If you have any thoughts or comments about the stories you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. To tell us more and to compare notes with other listeners, please go to our website, the Tell Me More page at npr.org. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that number is 202-842-3522. And please remember to tell us your name and where you're from. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.